切。Acho que é isso. Huh? Who is? Oh. I shouldn't have done that to y'all.
I shouldn't have done that. I know, that's my fault.
I know. God's good. The Lord's been dealing with me a lot about doing stuff that gets down to where we live. I heard about this one guy. He was doing counseling, and a guy came in his office and told the secretary that he really needed some help because he thought he was invisible. He was invisible, and the counselor said, "Tell him I can't see him right now." Advent candle. Come on up here. I keep forgetting the Advent candle, so this time I was told the time of the... Oh, no, we don't have it. Okay, well, what we're going to do is there's the Advent candle, and if it would have been lit, that's what it would look like. All right, amen. Okay, we got... amen, praise God. Getting back to that, amen, God's good, isn't he? Praise God. Get your Bibles out. You can't see me, you're really in good shape. I'm invisible all the time. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes I've been told that's my best look. Matter of fact, I was even told I weren't any more handsomer than when I was invisible. Amen. God's good. How many of you ever passed through some dark? Oh, I got one of my wonderful friends. Where'd he go? Did y'all run him out of here already? There he is. And... what else? And his daughter, amen. I have Andy and his daughter, Brandy. Thank you. I can't even get anything out today. Y'all just stand up and try to look at everybody and wave at them. You can make a face if you'd like. I grew up with this guy. I kept him out of more trouble. he can thank the Lord that we got together because I kept him from getting in trouble all the time. I do have to say some of the worst trouble I was ever in, usually Andy was around somewhere. I don't know why. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Psalm 23. The Lord has been dealing with me. Next week, we're going to do Christmas. It's going to be our Christmas message, and it's going to be different than probably any Christmas. It's different than any Christmas message I've ever heard, but the Lord spoke to me very strongly and showed me this. And so next Sunday, we're actually going to be talking about, I'll give you a little hint. It's how David handled it when his baby died. So normally at Christmas time, we talk about a birth. And next week, we're going to talk about a death. And so you say, well, that's an Easter sermon. No, it's not. It's Christmas. Everything's cool. Y'all look at somebody and say, everything's cool. Keep you cool. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Well, go ahead, praise him. Wow. Amen. Yes, that's awesome. That's what it's all about. Amen. God is awesome all the time. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a good one too. This Thursday night, we went to Pitt Detention Center. And we were told we had to wait, so we're in the chaplain's office having to wait while they moved prisoners. I finally called him and said, what's taking so long? And he said, well, they're moving slow. And so I asked him, how old were they? And of course, they didn't laugh like y'all. And they don't joke too much there. And so when they finally got let us out, I even said, God's protecting us from something. And so we get out, and initially I was going to take Doug back to F Block with me. And when we got there and Patrick was there, I felt the need to take Patrick instead of Doug. So I said, come on, Patrick, we're going back there. And with the time taken away, we couldn't go to F Block. So as we were walking away, Doug said that he had had a dream the night before, and it was a dream that awoke him. It was really one of those powerful dreams, those prophetic dreams. And he said in the dream, he and I were in F Block. And he said, a guy bigger than me. Now, you know, that's a pretty big guy. Said, he went down on me. And I said, what did I do? He said, you took it. So part of the dream was prophetic and part of it was pathetic. But still, I thank God because there it was. There was that protection. God took care of us. Whatever was going to go on that night, somebody having a bad night, we don't know. We weren't there. But to go back to see. But according to what in his dream, and then it happened, and he told us after it happened. So that's just amazing to me. God is always looking out for us. Amen? All right, get your Bible out, Psalm 23. How many's ever been through any dark valleys? How many's ever had any adversity in your life? How many sat next to it? That was a wise man. Just said, well, I wonder if that was even wise. No comment. No comment means if I open my mouth, it ain't going to be good. Amen. All right, Psalm 23. Stand for the reading of the word. Yeah, and I know sometimes when I bring up subjects, I know sometimes it's going to make it kind of rough on you. And I know sometimes if I bring up a subject, your wife may say, well, was he talking about something you're having a problem with? Or you might look at your wife and say, are we having a problem with this or whatever? And it may even start a whole different ball game on the way home, a whole different ride. But you know what, though? I promise you, if anything said from this pulpit is here to help, not to hurt, to help. And even if it drags up something, sometimes dragging up something is a good thing. Not a comfortable thing. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
Dragging up things are not always comfortable. But I promise you that it's fruitful. Amen. Matter of fact, if we drug up some things earlier, we might not be in the problem we're in today. Amen. Okay. Now that we got all that out of the way, Psalm 23, you got your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't, say oh me. Hey, you heard anybody say oh me, hand them one of those Bibles out of the pulpit. I mean out of the seat. All right, ready? Psalm 23. Y'all read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to do something a little different than do before we pray. I want you to give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank him for looking out for you. Amen. He looks out for me. I can tell you he looks out for me. I know he looks out for you. God's looking out. Go ahead, give him another one. Go ahead. Go ahead and praise him. Some crazy praise. Amen. Amen. All right. Look at somebody. Give him a high five, a low five, an O five, a some five, Benny four and a quarter. Brandon four and a half. Oh, it ain't got good. All the time. All right. Passing through dark valleys. I want you to know this now. Last week we started it. And I'm going to kind of breeze over some of the things from last week. And if you can't see me, say praise God. Normally this is down there, but the manger's down there. So now we brought it up here. And I keep trying to remember to get a higher stool. But I'm also scared of heights, and so I don't want to get too high still. I'm playing. Amen. All right, passing through dark valleys. Why do you get in a land where all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? Answer, a desert. Amen. A lot of times you think, if I could just have some more sunshine, man, would I have a good life. And God's saying, no, if all you have is sunshine, you have a desert. So I thank God for that. Amen. And then here it is. This is all I'm going from last week, and then we're going into this week. I'll tell you some things about dark valleys. This was our sermon last week. Dark valleys, number one, are unavoidable. Amen. Mankind is born for trouble. Surely as sparks fly up. Remember, there is I told you about the valley. I described it to you, the valley of the shadow of death. It actually was in Israel. To get to the green pastures, you had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. To get the good water, you had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. To get the good breeding ground, you had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And so, some of you in here today may think you're going through this valley of the shadow of death and thinking, God, are you trying to kill me? And God is saying, no, I'm trying to build you. And if you'll hold on, you'll see something great, because on the other side of this valley wasn't but 20 foot wide in some places, even narrow. It was 1,500 foot down below that you could fall. And so the shepherd, with skill and with courage and with fortitude, had to lead the sheep through this valley to the good pastures. Remember, good things wait on the other side, are waiting on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. Somebody say, good things. There's a rainbow on the other side. There is a rainbow on the other side. So it's unavoidable. Everybody's going to go through them. Number two, it's unpredictable. You can't plan them. You can't schedule them. And usually they happen at the worst possible time. Amen. And I gave you the example last week or the week before, riding around a curve, and there was, Sister Dot on the side of the road. I just saw this van with this great big man standing out with a lug wrench. And I said, that man's going to get killed sticking out in that road like that. And I looked, and it was Stephen. Amen. So here we are. I give up. How many church members does it take to change a tire? All of them. Yeah. Okay. So then, they're unpredictable. They're impartial. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're good looking or if you don't. If you're good looking deficient. Why are y'all looking at me when I say good looking deficient? I'm going to hide back behind this thing again. But the good thing about it is they're temporary. Valleys have an end. They have a beginning, but they have an end. They don't last forever. It's not our permanent residence. Don't look for your zip code. Don't try to find a post office box there. That's it. So now, and also, dark valleys have a purpose. Rejoice knowing that for a short time you've been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perisheth through, though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When God lets you go through the valley, it's there to teach you character. And sometimes I told you last week, sometimes he puts you with a character to give you character. My wife just said amen. I saw a big smile on her face. Sometimes it puts you with a character to give you character. What am I talking about? When you're with people that kind of, do you work with somebody that gets under your skin? Have you ever worked with somebody that really is gruff, and every time you get around them, you want them? You know what they are? They're sandpaper, and God's using them to sand on you. Amen? So let God do the sanding work, okay? It's all right. So now, he wants to teach you character. He wants to change you. He wants to mature you. So faith is always built in the valleys, not the mountain top. Somebody say that. Faith is built in the valley, not the mountain top. Amen. So here we go. Here, get ready. This is going to be awesome. What do you do when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Number one, I want you to hear this. If you don't hear anything else today, listen to this one. Remain calm. I just lost about half of y'all. Remain calm. Oh, God, I can't believe what's happening. Woo-hoo! You get so excited and get so wore out and get so on the edge that, you know, how many expert swimmers have drowned because they lost their cool? Wyatt Earp. Everybody remembers Wyatt Earp, don't you? My great-great-granddaddy, he weren't my great-great-granddaddy. He shot my great-great-granddaddy. Okay. Wyatt Earp, Of course, he never got shot, and that was the providence of God. But Wyatt Earp always won his gunfights. Always. Not just to shoot out at OK Corral, every one of them. That's why he was so famous. One of the reasons he was so famous. And you know why he said he never lost a gunfight? He said the secret to winning a gunfight is to remain calm. Now, if a man's holding a gun at me, or two or three holding a gun at me, I don't know how calm I'm going to be. But he said, if you remain calm, he said that extra split second to a second that you stop to aim, you win. He said, you got to remain calm. If you don't remain calm, you're dead. All right? So now he said, even though I run through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I hop through, even though I lose my cool through, no. He said, I bet y'all never thought about it that way. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Why is he walking? Because the shepherd is leading. And the shepherd's not running. The shepherd knows in order to navigate this dark valley, you have to walk. If you don't walk, you'll lose control and you're going to go 1,500 feet down. That is not pleasant. He knows that in order to provide protection for his sheep, they have to walk. Do you know that a sheep will run when nobody's chasing him? A sheep will run when there's no danger. A sheep will run when there's perfect peace around him. Why? Simply because he sees another sheep run. And when he sees the other sheep run, he'll run too. How many times have you gotten in the valley of the shadow of death and everything you were staying calm and cool and somebody come up and said, oh, I don't know, man. I think he's going to get us. All of a sudden you say, oh, me too, man. Let's go. Remain calm. Do you know there was a bell sheep? You know what the bell sheep was? The bell sheep was the sheep that was the wisest, the smartest, the one that actually could follow the shepherd and could remember the route. So the bell sheep was in front and he had a bell on his neck. And the shepherd would lead that bell sheep and the bell sheep could lead the others. All right? You hear that bell and the sheep would follow that bell. And the bell sheep would stay calm. It was mature. It was proven. It had some skill to even to be a sheep. It really was awesome compared to other sheep. My choice in life is to be a bell sheep. How about you? At your work, be a bell sheep. And everybody's freaking out. Go, chill, y'all. Just chill. You know the best bell sheep I've ever seen? I watch him every time he comes on television if I know he's on. Let's see if y'all call his name out. Hey. He was a bell sheep. Things get going rough and he go, hey. Of course, I was watching him on a French program one day and he went, oui, oui. That didn't have the same impact as, okay, I walk, I don't run through it, I don't panic, I don't run the other way, remain calm. Remember, everybody, when you're confronted with the valley of the shadow of death, there's three things that actually can happen to you, and if these happen to you, you've got a problem. There's the fight, the flight, or the freeze. When a lion is confronted, he fights. When a deer, a gazelle is confronted, he flees. When a rabbit is confronted, he freezes. So now, you got a choice. When I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fight, flight, or freeze. I walk calmly through the valley of the shadow of death. How many teachers in here, anybody that teaches stuff like this, when you're going through a fire alarm and the fire alarm goes off in the school, do you tell teachers, children, run, children? No. You say, walk orderly. You'll save some lives. The same way, God said, just chill. I got this. Like the woman come in, she went in her living room, and she saw seven of her children all playing in the center of the floor. And she walks in and sees, why are they doing? They're all so quiet. And she walks in and she sees seven baby skunks. And they're playing with these baby skunks. And she said, run, children! And they all picked up a skunk and ran in different directions. You'll get it in a minute, amen. Just go, yeah, I got that, amen. Okay, so look, you got to remain calm. Be deliberate. Say, no, I don't have to lose my control. I don't have to lose, because he's got control. I don't have to lose my cool, because God is in control. Somebody say this. Say it with me, everybody. I don't have to lose my cool, because God is in control. One more time. I don't have to lose my cool, because God is in control. And then watch this. Here's our prayer. Lord, help me to be a bell sheep. Amen. I didn't say Taco Bell. A bell sheep. I did date a girl one time that was not all there. She thought Taco Bell was a Mexican phone company. Amen. Number two. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, watch this. I will fear no evil. Refuse to be discouraged. Refuse it. If I was to ask you, every last one of you in here, and do not raise your hand, you don't have to. If I ask everybody in here, how many have discouraging moments in your life? I'll ask that part, discouraging moments. If you've ever had a discouraging moment, even recently in your life, raise your hand. Everybody, please. Look around, everybody. Every hand. Okay? A discouraging moment is when something happens, when you get the bad news. That's when you're stepping up to the valley of the shadow of death. That's when you get the phone call. That's when the things are happening that you weren't expecting to happen. Uncle Ralph last night. Some of y'all know my Uncle Ralph. Uncle Ralph had a heart attack last night. He was at Beaufort County Hospital. You know, so I was getting ready to finish up for today, and I looked at Linda, and I said, I think I ought to go. She says, you'll hate yourself if you don't. And so I went to the hospital, and he weren't doing too good. And he was doing good as far as the heart attack part, but he was just kind of in a little daze. And I said to myself, this isn't Uncle Ralph. Uncle Ralph's always talking junk. So I just started, you know, and I'm able to, I mean, I've got an ability to talk junk too. I know some of y'all. Okay, and so I started talking junk to Uncle Ralph. He started talking junk back. He's laying there covered up in a gown, wearing his boots. And I told him, I said, you can tell this is a redneck ER. And then I thought about Fonz, you know, when he was in the hospital with his boots on, wearing a gown. But then, so then when they come to Uncle Ralph and they said, we're going to send you to Greenville. He said, I don't want to go to Greenville. I said, well, you're going anyway. And so they're getting ready to send him to Greenville. Then he peps up and says, well, do y'all want me to drive my truck? I said, here he comes. Come on out, Uncle Ralph. Come on out. Amen. See, I watched him. He went from that state of kind of, I'm not sure what's happening, to here he goes. Now he's getting a handle on it. And then he told somebody, they were talking about somebody had just died or something over there. And he said, I tell you what. I said, but you're looking good, Uncle Ralph. I said, I know I'm looking good. He said, matter of fact, even when they cremate me, I'll look good. And I said, there's the Linton coming out. Amen. Okay, again, refuse to be discouraged. It says here, watch this. Will implies choice. It is a decision. Now, there's some things that happen to us. How many years had something happen to you lately that really was discouraging? Amen? You know, I see people sometimes when their favorite ball team loses, they're discouraged for weeks. They're a ball team. Their ball team. The manager didn't call them and ask them who they should put up the bat. The manager didn't call them and ask them. Although Coach K sometimes I would love to call me because I could tell him how to win some more games. Or something simple. Be discouraged. I'm not talking about that. So if that stuff discourages you, then you really need to get a handle. Really get a handle. What I'm talking about now, your children, you're having problems with your children, you're having problems on your job, you're having problems with your marriage, you're having problems with whatever in your own life, and you find yourself being discouraged. You know, because when you get discouraged, here's what happens. Here's the tool. Here's the hook. Listen carefully. Here's the hook. When you get discouraged, Satan wants to get you caught up in a self-pity mode. Because if he can get you in self-pity, then it projects. And when it projects, Other people, you're thinking they're treating you a certain way, but it's just a projection that you're projecting. You know, I there's been some times that the things I did, honestly, I'd want to get in self-pity. I said, no, I'm not going to get self-pity because I did it again. I cannot believe I did it again. How many's ever did that, said that? I cannot believe I did it again. I told you, God, I would never do it again. I gave you my word. And that's what I did. I blew it. Perfect timing. That's how I felt, too. I got all snotty all over. The person sitting in front of Eddie saying, yes, thank you. I blew it. But instead of allowing self-pity, what I did was I got angry. I got angry, and we're going to talk about temptation in a couple of weeks. I got angry at temptation. I got angry at me falling for it, and I got angry. And then I said, well, Lord, if I could just string myself up in the yard and be whipped by a whip, it'd be better, but that's not how you do it. And so, God, I need you to show me how to do this. And so what you got to do is, watch this, though. If you get discouraged, discouraged means actually to take away your courage. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and Satan would like to take away the thing you really need. You need courage to face this problem. You need courage to work on you, to work on whatever. You need courage. And so Satan wants to take away that courage. So what he does is he gets you in this discouragement mode so he can take you apart. You see, how do you avoid that? How do you avoid being discouraged when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? He said, I will fear no evil. Remember, it's a choice. It's a conscious decision not to be afraid. If you are discouraged, it's because you're choosing to look in the wrong direction. You say, I can't help it. It's all around me. Yeah, but there's somewhere, somehow, something, there's something you can get in front of your eyes to help you focus, not on the negatives. There may be 100 negatives, but there's one positive. Focus on that positive. And when you focus on that positive, begin to thank God. Live a thankful life. Begin to thank God for that positive. And when you thank Him, look, focus on God, not the situation. Focus on His power. Focus on praise. And you'll find that as your courage is being zapped, your courage will start coming back. I find that the more I praise, the more my courage comes back. I'm going to give you a few verses here. It's not up there. Colossians 1:11 says, God will strengthen you with His own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. In fact, trying times will actually try to zap your energy. You don't have enough power left because that you think that the situation is going to outlast you. Let me give you a little secret here. If you're standing on your own, any situation is going to outlast you. But when you stand on His power, how do you outlast all power? It can't. God wins. God wins. Look at somebody and say, God wins. That problem cannot outlast all power because all power is God. Amen? So here, and then Psalm 34:19 says, the Lord is close to them, the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Wow. Crushed in spirit. Discouraged. Not only discouraged, you've been zapped. Have you ever been zapped? I've been zapped. Lord knows I've been zapped. I don't like being zapped. How many here enjoy being zapped? The guys keep trying to come up with money to get the PCDC guys to zap me. Amen. And I thought one night they were going to do it because they said they asked the guard, would he please zap me with his taser? And he said, well, this cartridge here costs like $15, and all the guys between them only had like six. And so the guy that said this, so he had six, it cost 15. So the guard said, well, I got eight. That weren't funny. Okay. In Jeremiah 29:11, I want you to remember this. Think about it. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. He was talking to people that were in the valley of the shadow of death. They were under attack. These people were actually in captivity. He says, there's coming a time, if you'll hold on, there's coming a time where you're going to see that I'm going to take all this stuff, Romans 8:28, I'm going to take all the stuff, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'm going to put it together, and you're going to say, wow, isn't that a wonderful picture? So, number one, remain calm. Remain calm! Number two, refuse to be discouraged. I know it's hard. There's times where I sit back and I have to bite my tongue. There's times where I have to sit on my hands. There's times where the discouragement's trying to come and take away my courage. And I go, no, I'm not going to let you zap my courage. Because I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not in the power of David and his might. Because David has a little might, but God has all might. All right, number three. Isn't this good stuff? Three of you think it is. Okay. The rest of y'all, we'll see y'all later. Not playing. Don't go there. Don't go anywhere. Number three. All right, let's go to number three. Rest in God's presence, for you are with me. God, not only does He promise His power in the valley, He promises His presence. Wow. His presence. His presence. You know, it's amazing to me, when I was little, if I could just get to my daddy, things would feel a whole lot better, because my daddy was great big, my daddy was a big man, my daddy was awesome, and if I could just get to my daddy, everything would be all right. I didn't care who come against me, as long as I have my daddy. I remember one time Daniel and I, we went to go somewhere and they were taking riding lessons. And so I jump on the horse and Daniel says, let me get there with you, Daddy. Daniel was about that like that at the time. He gets up there and anybody ever heard of an English saddle? I don't think I ever saw an English saddle on Bonanza or the Virginian or Laredo or Death Valley Days. Matter of fact, you know what an English saddle is, don't you? If people get in your way, you can't toot because they ain't got a horn. And so, I know, boo. All right, so I like to get on, you know, when we got Daniel or whoever up with me, and I got that horn there. The horn's actually there to tie off your rope on so you can get your steers. But I like to hold on to that horn when things are getting kind of rough. And we got up on that saddle, and Daniel says, all right, my daddy, I know he'll take care of me. I said, well, come on up here, son. He gets on up there, and I reach up, and I don't feel the horn. And Daniel says, what are we going to hold on to, Daddy? And I said, son, this thing takes off, you're on your own. That had to be reassuring. Amen. Okay. When you go through the deep waters and get in great trouble, Isaiah 43, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Why? Because God is with us. I have this, we even play it from time to time, but I'm not going to play it today. I just wanted to read it to you. How many's ever heard of this young lady named Laura Story? Laura Story is a great gospel music singer. And writer, songwriter. Well, as it is with most of the great gospel songs, there's always a tremendous story to it. Laura Story, her husband is diagnosed with cancer. Looking bad. And so she goes to God. And she begins to say, you know, she could say, God, I'm working for you. I'm yours. Why is everything going crazy? Why is things not turning out right? Why are things not working the way they? I think they should be working? No. She goes to God and she says, God, I don't know what to do. My husband's got cancer. Is he going to die? Is he going to live? Whatever. And as she begins to pray to the Lord begins to talk with her and she writes down what he tells her. Listen. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. We pray for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know that you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy. What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, and the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise? Wow. What an answer. God loves you. He's not leaving you. He's right there with you. He's taking care of you. And here's one of the most awesome parts of this whole thing. Remain calm. Get back your courage. Refuse to be discouraged. You say, it's easy for you to say, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, actually, none of us know what any of us is going through. You could be sitting by your spouse and still not know exactly what she's going through or what he's going through. You could be looking at your children. You've raised them, and you still don't know what they're going through. They don't know what you're going through because there's all kinds of things. Satan is Satan massive in his attack. He's personal in his attack. In his personal attack, sometimes he's attacking your spouse and he's attacking you. Sometimes he's attacking you and not your spouse in the same kind of way. So there's all kinds of things going on at the same time. Same way with your children. You got to trust God in it all. So number four, and I'm getting ready to close. Look what time it is. I got to come up with another sermon because this is too early. Man. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to find some more. Here you go. Here's one from last week. Just playing. Number four, rely on God's protection and guidance when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Your rod, I fear no evil because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, physically, we're going to talk about it, but I want you to tell you, I'm going to tell you what it means spiritually. Physically, the rod was basically about 2 foot long, and at the end of it, there was some nails, and there was usually a heavy knot. And so here's this kind of a billy club with nails and with this heavy knot. And shepherds were very skilled. They could take this thing and throw it, and they actually, it'd be like a missile. If they saw something coming at their sheep, they could take this missile with these nails and with this heavy knot, and they, I mean, 20, 30 yards, they could take this missile and they could launch it, and they could take out the enemy of the sheep. Wow. That's awesome. And he says, I don't have to fear because I know the rod of God is here to protect me. How many's ever heard? I like this one. Wide Earp even called it the rod. Of course, his reached out a lot farther. The rod. Thy rod protects me. Hold on, I'm not through yet. If you're depressed today, if Satan's coming, trying to get you to take away your peace, the Bible says that those that lean on him, he'll keep in perfect peace. You can remain calm. He's trying to take away your peace. He's trying to take away, zap away your courage. He's out there trying to make you believe that God's not with you. Remember this. Every time Satan comes up at you, the great shepherd has taken his rod and he's chunked it. He's chunked it. You may not see it. You may not understand it. You may not even know why. But understand that he's chunking that rod at him. Number two, he says, your staff comforts me. You know what a staff is? A staff comes up and it's got the crook in it. All right? That crook in the end of it was used to guide, to comfort. I thought we were going to have to get one of those crooks to help with Inky and Maddie. Because when they're eating, when Maddie gets to eating, Maddie wants to go over and eat Inky's too. Inky eats Dainty. Inky picks it up and kind of just goes. And Maddie's like, it's gone. I thought we were going to have to get a crook and put it around Maddie's neck and pull her over to the side. Now, the shepherd would pull the sheep. With this, he would separate the sheep. And if they were in the valley, listen carefully. How many have seen that picture of the shepherd leaning over, getting his sheep down the side of the mountain? You may be in the valley of the shadow of death, and you're down the side. You think he can't reach you. He can not only reach you, he can pull you back. He can help you. You see, the rod and the staff is God's Word and the Holy Spirit. You take God's word empowered by, which is power by itself, but you take the word and take his Holy Spirit. Man, it's amazing what can happen. Some of us in here need to realize we're not in this alone. There's times you feel like you're alone. Satan would like to make you think you're alone, because if he can make you think you're alone, then he can rob your peace. He can zap your courage. He can make you feel like you're in this all by yourself. But right now, I want you to know, I want you to close your eyes. I'm getting ready to close. I want you to close your eyes. Either you now, or in the valley of the shadow of death, or you're starting to enter it. Maybe you're starting to end it. If you're starting to enter it, you see nothing in front but bad. If you're starting to, here's how you can tell the difference. If you're starting to enter it, all you see is bad coming in front. If you're going out of it, you're seeing some hope on the other side. No hope going in, hope going out. If you're in the middle of it, you don't see anything at either end. All you see is rough. And the Lord sent me by here today to tell you that it's going to be okay. I want you to keep your eyes closed for just a minute, because I'm going to tell you something about shadows. Shadows. He said in the shadow, the valley of the shadow. Valley of the shadow of the valley of the, you know what I mean. Thank you. Shadows, number one, are always bigger than reality. Once you think about this, shadows are always bigger than reality. Fear is always greater than the problems you face. Your fear is greater than the problem you face. Please listen to me. Your fear is greater than the problem you face. Number two, shadows cannot hurt you. They can only scare you. Nobody's ever been attacked by a shadow. You never see it on the news where some man gets killed by a shadow. No. And number three, shadows only appear when there's a source of light around. Remember telling you about the jackals and the hyenas and the lions that would attack in that valley? And the way the valley was shaped, when the sun was going across, it made all kinds of weird shadows and it was scary. Just remember this. They're bigger than reality. They cannot hurt you. And they only appear when there's a light source. There is a light at the end of this tunnel. There's a light. I want you right now just to put up your hand. Keep your eyes closed. Put your hands up. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I thank you for your peace. I can remain calm. I thank you for your power. I don't have to be discouraged. I thank you for your presence. I'm not in this thing by myself. And I thank you for your protection. Your word and your spirit bring hope and comfort and guidance. In the name of Jesus, you freely give it. I freely accept it. In the name of Jesus. Now you can open your eyes. Remember, shadows can't hurt you. I can tell you what will hurt you. Looking in the sun will hurt you. It was a Thursday. I picked up Emmy from school. I picked up Emmy from school on Thursday. And as I picked her up, she was going to her nana's. And so she had her knapsack on. It was kind of heavy. I can't imagine kids in the early grades like that having to have such a heavy knapsack. So I said, let Papa tote it for you. I'll be toting your books from school. And so people said, that knapsack's heavy, Papa. And I said, no, it's not. And I threw it up about that high. And she went, aw. So I said, okay, I'll show you. And so I threw that thing up about 10 foot in the air. It was heavy. It had books in it. I threw it about 10 foot in the air. And when I turned around to catch it, I looked right dead in the sun. That was one of those Roadrunner Coyote moments where the coyote is standing there with his umbrella before the rock hits him in the hand. And all of a sudden her book bag comes down and hits me. You might can see it a little bit. It hits me here and it scrapes all the way down to here. And I went, whoa! And she said, that hurt, Paw Paw. And then she said, I told you it was heavy. Oh, I got in my car and I went to call somebody and I couldn't even find my earpiece. I done knocked my earpiece off. So I said, Amy, come out. I said, Amy, find my earpiece. And Amy scanned the ground until she could find me. And not my earpiece from here to Linda. Whew. Remember, shadows cannot hurt you, only scare you. Shadows cannot hurt you. They can only scare you. Thank God for peace. Thank God for his presence. Thank God for power. Thank for his protection. God's got this. Everybody stand. Y'all guys come play some. Just remember, when you're walking through the valley, that's what it is. Or valley of the shadow of death. Remember, it's a valley full of shadows. Yes, it's dangerous. Yes, it is dangerous. But God is there to protect you and to guide you. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. I love you, Father, and I thank you, God, for your peace. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your presence. And I thank you for your protection. We don't walk through that valley alone. You're there with us every step of the way, and we thank you for it. Now, if you're here, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here right now and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you've never asked him into your heart and life, well, nobody's looking around, we're not going to embarrass you, would you raise that hand and say, I need Jesus? If you're here this morning, you may have known him, but you've run from him, far away from him, and you're needing him. To come back into your life like he once was. Nobody looking around. If I'm talking to you, would you raise that hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. Touch him right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let him feel your peace and your power and your presence and your protection. Here, and you've been going through a valley right now. Remember, if you're entering the valley, there's still some good things going on around you, but you see the bad coming. If you're going out of it, you see the bad behind you, but you see some good coming. If you're in the middle of it, you're surrounded. So wherever you're at, God wants you to know you can have his peace, his power, his presence, his protection. If I'm speaking to you right now, you need God to help you in your valley. You're either entering it, you're in it, or you're leaving it. Would you just step forward and get in this altar? Step in this altar and ask God to show you, to guide you, to raise you, to help you get your courage back, to help you get your peace back, to help you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I've got to have your help. You got to show me. If you got any special need in your life right now, I want you to come. I want you to come on up here. If you want to pray for something, if you need something, if you want God just to touch you, if you just want to thank him, I want you to come up here. I want you to come up here.
Every time when I'm at my trial, you know, and
got to pray for anything, come on up here. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, touch these sinuses. Touch these sinuses. Touch these sinuses. Touch right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know, Father, that you're more than able. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you, Father, for the anointing, Father, that we feel right now, God. We thank you for your power. We know, God, that you're in total control, Father. There's never been a time when you weren't in control. Touch my sister, Lord. Just come up your faith, Lord. Believe me, Lord. Touch you, Lord. I believe, God, that you're doing it right now in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.